The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If you're believing in Jesus for a life that can be lost, that isn't everlasting, then you haven't quite believed in Jesus for what he promised. You're not being like Paul when Paul says he's believed in Jesus for everlasting life. You're believing in him for something else.
Right, and that's a shame because Jesus doesn't offer probation. What he offers is a secure eternity that starts now and lasts forever.
What exactly does the Bible mean when it uses the word everlasting, and especially the term everlasting life? What is the difference between everlasting and eternal? Well, this is Grace in Focus, and we're enjoying this daily visit with you from Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for being here. We're looking forward to God's blessing on this ministry as we seek to handle God's Word carefully, to teach without confusion or ambiguity what saving faith is and what it's not. So today, we continue the series, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, as we think about the word everlasting, both in the New Testament and in the Old. Let's go to the discussion now. Here is Grace in Focus.
Hi, welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we've been going through some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. These are words that have kind of gained a meaning in evangelical circles and Christianese. And sometimes those common definitions don't match up with the biblical definitions of these words. Bob has written a book about this called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, available at our website, faithalone.org. And one of the words that we're going to talk about is this word everlasting. Everlasting. Most people don't use that word. Jesus did when he evangelized. When he evangelized in the Gospel of John, he would go around telling people to believe in him for everlasting life. And in fact, that is even what Paul preached. We see that in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. What is this term, everlasting life, Bob?
The word everlasting means that which continues forever going forward. Everlasting life is the life of God, which once you receive it, it is everlasting. Now, it's not the same as existence. We've talked about this on a previous show. Unbelievers exist forever, but to have everlasting life is to have the life of Christ, which stays with you forever.
Right. So it's partaking of the divine nature. This is God's own life that you're receiving as a gift. One of the important points about this word, I think, is that when most people have evangelized or when they think about Christianity, they think about salvation as going to heaven when I die. It's something that is future. It's something that happens in the next life. It's something that kind of happens external to you. But when Jesus evangelized, he said, and even read that here in Paul, Paul believed in Jesus for everlasting life. When do you get that life?
You get everlasting life at the moment you believe in Jesus for it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have everlasting life at the moment of faith. In fact, John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, present tense, has everlasting life right now, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Once you believe, you have everlasting life and you're never going to lose it.
I think it's kind of helpful to read the Bible this way. This isn't something that only appears in the New Testament. It's not something that only appears in John. It happens at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember what God warned Adam and Eve would happen to them if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? In that day, they would die.
Right.
When they disobeyed and they fell, death entered the world. And suddenly, the story of the Bible is the story of how do we get this life? Because what we have is death. And so all throughout the Bible, there's this promise, this Messiah is coming, and somehow this Messiah is going to resolve this death problem by bringing life to the world.
Yes, in fact, this is a bit off the topic of everlasting life, but in a sense, it's right on the topic. If you read Genesis chapter 5, what's interesting is you read about the patriarchs. And it talks about Adam, and he died. He lived 930 years, and he had a son named Seth, and he died. And then Seth, and how many years he lived, and he died. And it goes on and on. And he died, and he died, and he died. You have all these patriarchs who died, and one of my seminary professors, Alan Ross, in his commentary on Genesis says, people are falling like flies. They're dropping like flies. They're living 900 years, but God intended them to live forever. Right. If they had not sinned, they never would have died. And so what happens is you get to verses 22 to 24 and you read about a man named Enoch. Enoch lived 300 years and he walked with God and God took him. He didn't die. You have all these statements. He died, he died, he died. You get to Enoch, he doesn't die. And Alan Ross in his commentary says, here is what the biblical perspective is. This is where God is going. There's a day coming when there will be no more death.
That's right.
One day he's going to raise us from the dead. We're going to live forever. And Enoch is a type of what's going to happen at the rapture.
Readers of the Bible should recognize that this issue of everlasting life isn't a marginal issue. It's not a side issue. It's an issue that runs all throughout the Bible, from the very first chapters of Genesis to the very last chapters in Revelation, which are perfectly parallel to the first three chapters of Genesis. There's this death problem in the world, and God, through the Messiah, Jesus Christ, solves that problem by giving everlasting life to believers.
Now, you know, the funny thing is, Sean, a lot of New Testament scholars and a lot of Old Testament scholars say there was no concept of everlasting life in the Old Testament. Yet if you read Hebrews chapter 11, that's obviously not true. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're told Abraham was looking for a city. We're told that Moses bypassed the riches of Egypt because he was looking for a reward. In 11:35, we have all these people who were martyred because they were looking for a better resurrection. Even in Job, maybe the earliest book in the Bible, could have been written around 2000 B.C., in Job 19:25, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives, and I will walk with him in my flesh on the earth. Job believed in bodily resurrection. And of course, in the end of Daniel chapter 12, he believed in this. So everlasting life is tied in with resurrection. In fact, you remember Jesus talking to Martha? He doesn't randomly say, I am the resurrection and the life. He links those two together. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he will live physically. That's the promise of resurrection. Now, of course, all, even unbelievers, will live physically forever. But the difference is he's talking about glorified bodies here, being raised up with the resurrection that just people, people who've been justified by faith, have. And then he says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That shows the eternality of the life we have. In fact, that's one of the things a lot of people miss, Sean, is that everlasting life is everlasting life. You mentioned earlier something about we share in God's nature, and I think a lot of our listeners may have missed that, but one of God's characteristics is he's eternal, right? He has no beginning and no ending. Now, we are not eternal. That's why I don't really like the translation eternal life. I prefer the translation everlasting life.
Because we have a beginning.
We have a beginning. We have no ending, but we have a beginning.
Right.
But going forward, we share in God's nature in the sense that we are going to go on forever with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. So when Paul tells Timothy that he's an example to everyone for someone who's believed in Jesus for everlasting life, Paul isn't believing in Jesus for a chance to go to heaven when he dies. He's not believing in Jesus for a chance to prove himself. He's not believing in Jesus for a salvation that he needs to keep by his works. He believed in Jesus for a permanent life, for a life that is everlasting, that'll go on forever and ever and ever and cannot be revoked.
You see that, for example, in John chapter 4, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well.
Right, and that reads, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water... So Jesus is about to make a contrast here. Earthly water, you take a drink, you get thirsty. One drink won't satisfy. But listen to this. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What does that mean, never thirst?
Yes, never thirst is a statement of the eternality of the life he gives. It means once the person has the life, they never need to drink the living water again to keep the life. And by the way, did you notice in verse 14, the living water is not everlasting life. The living water is that which springs up to everlasting life. So what the living water is the message that Jesus is Messiah. That's where he's going in this account. And as Messiah, it's the message that he guarantees everlasting life to those who believe in him for that life. To me, it's a great shame when we fail to make clear to people that what Jesus gives is everlasting life. One of my seminary professors, Dr. Charles Ryrie, recently went to be with the Lord, but he loved to say, everlasting life is everlasting life. If it could be lost, it's got the wrong name.
Right. So if you're believing in Jesus for a life that can be lost, that isn't everlasting, then you haven't quite believed in Jesus for what he promised. You're believing in him for something else, but not for what he promised. You're not being like Paul when Paul says he's believed in Jesus for everlasting life.
Right, and that's a shame because Jesus doesn't offer probation. What he offers is a secure eternity that starts now and lasts forever. My encouragement to you would be to join with me in thanking God for the gift of everlasting life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you that everlasting life is a free gift received by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ apart from works. And we rejoice in the life you've given us. And we pray that we would glorify the Lord Jesus who has given us this life. And we pray in his matchless name. Amen.
Thank you, Sean Lazar and Dr. Bob Wilkin, for helping us look carefully at the meaning and emphasis of everlasting in the Bible. God's solution to everlasting death is everlasting life, which anyone can have by simply believing Jesus for it. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Once again, thanks for being here. Next time on Grace in Focus, Bob and Sean will continue our series by looking at one more misunderstood word in Christianese. That's salvation. We'll do that after a weekend, which is full of, hopefully, fun, rest, and worship. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.